Hello, my name is Sasha Goldstein, and I work for Sella Group. This screencast is part of a series of Windows 7 how-to videos, in which you'll learn how to use the new Windows 7 features from native code in C++, as well as managed C# and .NET code. In this video, we'll start with the fundamentals of programming the new Windows 7 taskbar, before we can start diving into the more advanced and more complicated features. The first thing you see when logging on to Windows 7 is the new Windows 7 taskbar. Compared to previous OS versions, it's clutter-free, it's clean, it's very, very simple, and in my opinion, significantly more elegant. The primary design goals of the new taskbar, which is really a revolution, were to provide one-click access to common applications by pinning them to the taskbar, providing common destinations and tasks from each taskbar button without resorting to a start menu, allow for easy switching and control of windows using thumbnail toolbars, thumbnails, and other mechanisms we'll discuss later. So this is what a taskbar looks like, and I'm going to show you my taskbar in a moment, but first let's understand the different highlighting modes here. So first of all, on the left, I have Internet Explorer. Only its icon tells me that it's Internet Explorer, so it's very, very important now to provide a big, shiny icon for your application that can be used to distinguish it from all the other applications on the system. Since Internet Explorer doesn't have this frame around its icon, it's not currently running. Unlike Windows Explorer, which is the next window, and I can tell by this frame around the icon that it has currently a window open on my computer. Next, we have the Outlook icon, which I can tell is active because it's highlighted in gray. And then we have the command shell, which is again not running. And then we have PowerPoint. And I have multiple PowerPoint presentations open here. So I have multiple stacked windows shown. And if I hover over them, then there's this highlighting effect, the color highlighting, that shows you which window you're currently hovering on using your mouse. By the way, the color used for this highlighting is the dominant color from your application's icon, and you must make sure that it works well and looks well on all versions of Windows with all different themes and colors that users can use. So, I'm going to show you my taskbar to demonstrate some of the new Windows 7 taskbar features. These are overlay icons, progress bars, jump list categories and tasks, thumbnail toolbars, thumbnail clipping, and thumbnail customization, as well as tab thumbnails. So let's start with overlay icons. Here I have my Windows Live Messenger on the taskbar with my picture in it. Now you can see the little X in the bottom right corner of the Messenger icon, and that little X tells me that I'm currently not logged on to the system, I'm not signed into Messenger, and if I were, this icon would change to reflect my current status. Now another thing I wanted to show you is progress bars. For example, I have here Internet Explorer 8 with a download link for Windows Installer 1.1. So I choose to save the file to some random location on my file system, and then when the download begins, there is the standard progress bar in the window itself, but even if I minimize it, I can see the progress information coming from the Internet Explorer taskbar button. And when the download completes, it flashes and lets me know that the download is over. Another nice feature is the jump list, which I mentioned before. It's a way to provide common destinations and common tasks for your user, for the users of your application. So for example, if I look at Outlook, it shows me some nice tasks, such as new email message, go to inbox, and so on, and that is part of the Office 2010 beta. In Live Messenger, it gives me the ability to sign in, to change my online appearance, to send an instant message, and so on. Another feature is the thumbnail toolbars. If I open Media Player, it's currently playing some music from my Windows home server at home. But if I don't switch to the application, I still can control it using a thumbnail toolbar from the thumbnail itself without performing the switch, I can switch to the next song, to the previous one, or resume playing the song I currently have selected. And again, the user can do that while still working in the same application with the same window as before, without having to switch to the media player to perform a simple task such as switching to the next song. And finally, I wanted to show you tab thumbnails and previews. Internet Explorer 8 has great support for that. It has tabs, but not only are these tabs represented as thumbnails, but they are fully functional in that you can actually switch to any of these tabs and go to the appropriate window in the Internet Explorer frame. You can even use these thumbnails to close one of these tabs or two of these tabs, and the Internet Explorer frame reacts accordingly. Even if I reorder the tabs, the thumbnails themselves are also reordered. And this is a feature we'll talk about later in this series of screencasts. In this series of videos, we'll cover all of these features and more. We'll talk about the C++ native APIs, the managed APIs, and everything there is to say about programming the Windows 7 taskbar. But before we can start adding these features to our applications, we have to understand how taskbar buttons are created and assigned in the first place to any running application. So what determines the taskbar button to which a window belongs is its application ID. This is a new term in Windows 7. For example, if I open multiple Word documents, then the first Word document appears on the taskbar as a single taskbar button. If I open another Word document, then I have two Word windows stacked one behind another, and I have two distinct thumbnails, and I also see that they are both behind the same taskbar button. So the default application ID for a window is actually determined by its process, and the process application ID is determined by the executable name. So it's not surprising that even if I launch multiple copies of winword.exe, even if there are multiple processes running, they will all have the same taskbar button because that's the default. You can customize the app ID though for very interesting scenarios. For example, you might have a single application with multiple windows that want to span multiple taskbar buttons, because the fact that you're running within one process doesn't mean that you don't have completely separate subsets of functionality that should be provided as separate taskbar buttons. You could also customize thumbnails for that purpose, but this is an entirely different thing. Now, if you want to provide an explicit app ID, you can do that for the window, for every individual window as you create it, or later, even when the window is already created and shown, or you can set the app ID of the entire process. And if you use explicit application IDs, then you must make sure that you use them consistently. We'll see later when talking about jump lists, for example, that to show a valid jump list, you have to know the application ID of your application and initialize the jump list with that application ID. And if you get it wrong, you either get errors or no UI is shown when you expect it. So if you use an app ID, you have to use it consistently. Now here's the code to set the process application ID and to set the window application ID. The process application ID is very, very easy. You just call the shell function setCurrentProcessExplicitAppUserModelID and provide your application ID. That takes effect for the entire process. Now, you can't modify the app ID of the process after the taskbar button was created. So you really get only one shot at doing that. And it's before you create your first window, it's before you have a taskbar button, you set the process application ID and that's it. The window application ID you can change whenever you want. And that you do using the iProperty store interface. Each window is associated with a shell property store, which you can retrieve using the shGetPropertyStoreForWindow function from the shell. You get back an iProperty store interface pointer, and then you use the setValue method and provide the property key appUserModelID, as in the last line on the slide, and the property variant initialized to the appUserModelID that you want, with the app ID that you want. And now there's a very interesting effect that happens when you change the window application ID in mid-flight. and let's take a look at that effect. I have a sample application here, and I'll show you the code in a moment, but first let me compile and run it, and what we're going to do is see how the default and non-defaults actually affect the taskbar buttons. So first I'll close all the Word windows and the Messenger window so that we have more taskbar space, and now I have one window of that application ID demo. I'll create another, and you can see that by default they're both grouped behind the same taskbar button, and again that's the default. Now if I click Use Unique Application ID, then you can see the second window jumping to a different taskbar button. And if I do the same for the first window, then well, it will be hard to notice, but it actually changes its application ID and jumps again to another location. And that's part of the application ID per window support that you have here. You can create individual windows and change their application IDs in mid-flight. Now, as for the code, it's not very complicated. When the dialog button is checked, the Use Uniform App ID button is checked, then all we have to do is format a string with the application ID and then proceed exactly as with the code on the slide. First, I call getPropertyStore for window, retrieve an iPropertyStore interface pointer, initialize a property variant with the application ID string that I want, and then use the setValue method to set the property key appUserModelID to the prop variant I just initialized. And then I call commit on the property store, release the property store, and it's all done, and we have a different application ID for that window, which causes it to jump across the taskbar buttons. Now it's time to talk about the programming interfaces that we have for interacting with the Windows 7 taskbar features. Now I'm talking about the C++, the native code, the Win32 programming interfaces. So first of all, we have the application ID APIs, and they provide the glue. They provide the reasoning and logic behind placing your windows with specific taskbar buttons. We've seen them before. Next, there's the iTaskbarList4 interface, which is the gateway to most of the new taskbar functionality. It's a COM interface implemented by the shell, by the class ID TaskbarListCo class, and we'll see it in future videos because some things it allows you to do is set the overlay icon, progress bar, and many other things you can do with the taskbar button. The Desktop Window Manager DWM APIs give you control over thumbnails and live previews. You can ask the DWM to call you back when it needs a live thumbnail or a preview bitmap for your window, and then provide custom things that might not have anything to do with the actual user interface you're displaying. This is very useful in some scenarios, even for a single window application, but if you're using tabs or child windows, then there's really no other way to achieve the same functionality as an Internet Explorer, for example. And finally, there's the taskbar button created message, which tells your application, it's a window message, that tells your application that it's now safe to interact with the taskbar. For example, you can't create a jump list before this message is received by your application, because the fact that your process has started doesn't mean that the taskbar has already created and initialized a button for you. So you have to listen for this taskbar button created message before you do anything with the taskbar. And in the first video in the series about progress bars and overlay icons, you'll see all the details of how to register this message and how to intercept it. All of these APIs are declared in two or three header files, shopjidl.h, shellapi.h, and dwmapi.h, which are part of the Windows SDK, and use the import libraries shellwpapi.lib and dwapi.lib. These import libraries expose the functionality in the system DLLs. Now, you don't need the Windows 7 SDK on the production machine when you install your application and run it, but you certainly need it for development, and there is no other way to interact with these features from native code. For more information about the Windows 7 taskbar, other than the series of screencasts that we are starting with this one, take a look at the Windows 7 tag on Channel 9, at the Windows 7 blog for developers, at the training materials available regarding the taskbar on Channel 9, and at the Windows 7 training kit that has some hands-on labs in native and managed code that show you how to use the Windows 7 taskbar. For a high-level design and engineering overview, for example why the taskbar was designed the way it was, take a look at the Engineering Windows 7 blog, the E7 blog. For API details in any of these videos, consult the NSDN documentation in the SDK. And of course, the sample code for each of these videos is also available together with the screencast. So thank you for joining me today, and good luck writing your next Windows 7 application.